Question. Have you engaged your faith? Or would it be a no? Are you believing as you should? Would that be a yes or that be a no? I have observed that people who regularly experience the miraculous are those who regularly expect to see it. Kelly Willis, we expect to see it. That's why we will continue to pray. And others that are here that need to be prayed for, we expect to see God at work in your lives. Rather than being passive, they are aggressive about pushing forward to see the miraculous in their lives. Those who press forward and release their faith to see the supernatural demonstrated are the ones who often experience these divine demonstrations in their lives. If you want signs and wonders to faithfully follow you, you must be constantly believing for them to happen. When you share the gospel, expect things to happen, for it is a word that has power. It is the word of the living God. It is the gospel of good news. It is the gospel that you have been set free and delivered. It is the gospel that Jesus Christ has paid our sin debt in full. It is the gospel that Jesus Christ is going to judge the whole world and everything that is in it, and that is non-negotiable. So when you share the gospel with someone, and what a privilege it is, and Jesus will arrange it if you want it, then expect things to happen during that time of sharing the good news. When you confront someone who's demonized, expect that person to be set free. That may be an unusual statement in a Southern Baptist church, but it is biblical as it can be. When you are in a situation that requires the miraculous, expect it to occur. When you need protection, expect God's hand of protection to be upon you. James said, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Listen closely to what you don't have. The prayer of faith is a heart's confession that is based upon the revelation that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is the only one that we are told in the Bible that we must obey. And results in a transformation. A transformation is a time to change and bring forth that which is right as a child of the living God. It is not the lukewarm, rational faith of the Greek philosophers. It is not just mental consent. If you will, turn to James chapter 2, verse 19. James chapter 2, verse 19. It is a scripture that you've read often. You know it well. I hope you have something to write with as we exegete it. James 2:19 says, you believe. Underline that word believe, and it means you have confidence. Confidence is always generated by people. You believe. You say you have confidence that God, underline God, if you will, when you look it up, it is the word theos. Theos refers to God as being creator, owner, provider, and sustainer. The one being all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere present, and all-sufficient. You believe that God is one. You do well. Underline the word well. In the Greek it says, you do good. But it does not go far enough. The demons, underline the word demons, and write fallen angels, also believe. They do that too. And shudder, underline the word shudder, and it means to shiver from fear, to shiver from fear. A demon's belief in God is inadequate. You could say it is unreal. It is a faith only of confidence that is unoccupied or accompanied by deeds. You believe you have confidence. That sounds good. That God is the one. You do well. That's good also. But it's not enough. It doesn't go far enough. And the demons, the fallen angels, also believe and shudder. Saving faith is more than belief that certain statements about God are true. It is trust and reliance which call forth behavior consistent with the stance of trust and reliance. Faith. Faith means divine persuasion. Biblical faith is God persuading you to do what pleases Him. In its biblical sense, faith is always received by believers. It is never self-generated. Faith is always the gift, the work of God, from the moment of your conversion to the end of your sanctification. Works in Scripture are commanded and rewarded by God when they act out the faith He works in. Good works, God-approved works, and faith always go together. For believers, works are very important because we are saved for works, but never by works. This means living in partnership with the Lord, doing His will by His empowerment. Let's go back to the printout, if you will. Yea, James says, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you thee my faith by my works. The Great Commission tells us to go into the world to make disciples, not church members, not professors of faith, not people who have repeated the sinner's prayer, but disciples. To make disciples, we are to teach them to observe all things whatsoever the Lord Jesus Christ has commanded you. And as Acts 11 tells us, those disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. And the term means a disciple or follower of Christ. One author likened the maturity of a disciple to be measured by the amount of dust he accumulated on his clothing from following his rabbi so closely as he watched, listened, imitated, learned, and applied the teachings, which would be the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Bible that He has given us. In America, we have redefined what it means to live by faith. We believe that living by faith means that we live our lives the way we want to live our lives, justifying our behavior in light of the world's wisdom. Then when we absolutely make a mess out of things, we get on our knees and ask God to fix it. Is that living by faith? No, it is not. Is that testing God? Yes, it is. Turn to page 2, please. Galatians chapter 2 tells us the just shall live by faith. Underline that word faith and let's reread it. The just shall live by trust and reliance upon the living God and be a believer in Jesus Christ, that He is the Savior appointed in eternity past by the Holy Trinity, by divine decree, and therefore it is non-negotiable. Jesus Christ will always stand as the Savior of all mankind, all that will accept Jesus Christ as personal Savior and Lord. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Word of God is under attack. It is being attacked each and every day. I understand at the Air Force Academy in Colorado, it was attacked by woke They are trying to take away the freedom of speech. And they thought they would begin at the academy in Colorado. They were asked, why did you begin in Colorado? The answer that came forth was, there are more Christians there than in any other military base. So we're going to attack Christianity there because of the number of believers. We are here and will do our best by Satan himself to take away the freedom of speech. D.L. Moody once said, I had up to this time closed my Bible and prayed for faith. I now opened my Bible and began to study, and faith has been growing ever since. Living by faith means that we listen to what our Lord Jesus Christ is telling us in His Word and obey it and apply it to our lives. Living by faith means many things. Here are about 14 of the many. Living by faith means husbands, and underline the word husbands. A word for husband is you are a servant leader. A servant leader. So a husband is a servant leader. He is not a boss, for he is under the lordship of Jesus Christ, and to run his household as the Lord would have him run it. Husbands, servant leaders, what a privilege, not bosses. Husbands, love, underline the word love. It is a Greek present imperative, and it means keep on doing this. Keep on loving your wife. This is to be an habitual thing. It is to be continuously. It is to be progressively as a lifestyle. This is self-giving love required of all husbands. No exceptions. Non-negotiable. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. The word love there is agapao. This is a sacrificial love. That is Jesus Christ loving you more than anything. And in fact, He loved you so much, He willingly went to the cross on Calvary over 2,000 years ago. And He gave up His life. He gave up His spirit. The eternal, incarnate Son of the living God, the only begotten One. Husband, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. That is a call to arms. Whatever we are called to give for the sake of the gospel, for this body of believers, for the Lord Jesus Christ, we will answer this call. And He gave Himself for it. So the question you must ask is, am I willing to give the utmost sacrifice for the Lord Jesus Christ and also the church that He is forming as I speak? Number two, living by faith means, wives, let your inner beauty exceed your outer beauty, and let your husband see your love of Christ in the home. Number three, parents, not the government, not the schools, but parents. Engage. Parents, raise your children. Underline your. God gave you responsibility of the children that He gave you. Parents, as a husband and wife, a man and a woman, not a woman and woman, not a man and man. It is a man and a woman, regardless of what woke has to say about it. Disneyland, as you well know, the LGBT, they're about 50% there and going further with it. Parents, again, not the school, not the government, but parents, raise your children. Make the sacrifices necessary. Stand when it is not popular. Take the time to read them the Bible. Also live and let them see the Bible in you. Parents, raise your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Here's what it means. Training and education. Corrective measures, which will help eliminate evil in the life and encourage the good. That is the investment, parents, that you must make in the children that God has blessed you with. With children comes responsibility, and it is great. 4, children, obey your parents in the Lord, acting under the authority of the one speaking, and implies really listening. Let me translate it just a little bit plainer. In other words, when mom and dad are speaking to you, son and daughter, you are to be under their authority as they speak. And you are to listen, put down the little thing you play with. It's a phone. Put down everything. Don't be looking at the TV when mom and dad are speaking to you. For God asks you to give 100% attention to your parents when they speak to you. Acting under the authority of the one speaking and implies really listening with a readiness to execute. Did you get that? Children, obey your parents. In, underline the word in, the Lord. Here's what it means. Ultimate authority is not parental. Ultimate authority is divine. Children, obey your parents. But more so, children, obey your parents, for this is what God is asking you to do. Number 5. Avoid the very appearance of evil. Flee fornication. If you're going to live by faith, don't lie. Don't gossip. Don't steal. Don't murder. If you're going to live by faith, be honest in business. If you are a businessman, then be a businessman in all your dealings, all the time, not just on Sunday. Living by faith means be just in judgment. Living by faith means pay your bills on time. Living by faith means be generous. Living by faith means don't be in excessive debt. Living by faith means let your work be an offering and testimony unto the Lord. Living by faith means don't be lazy. If you are lazy, you're not one to receive help, and I'm not obligated to give it. If you don't want to work, you don't get it. Savvy? Don't be in excessive debt. Let your work be an offering and testimony unto the Lord. Don't be lazy. Work like the ant and save for lean times. This is what it means to live by faith. A disciple of Jesus is one who walks with Jesus day by day. He studies, she studies. His teaching of the truth and applying his instruction to your life, since he is the Lord of all, period, non-negotiable. Every issue that we face today has been dealt with in Scripture. And the area of responsibility has been assigned by God to one of 4 realms of government: self, family, church, civil. Many preachers no longer preach on sin. We now are victims of an illness. A victim is helpless and hopeless. A sinner can repent. It is not politically correct to rebuke, and it can damage your self-esteem. Didn't Jesus rebuke Peter? Didn't Paul instruct Timothy to rebuke? Didn't Paul instruct the church to rebuke sin? The church is no longer relevant, as we are more concerned about being liked than upholding truth and righteousness. That's why I love you. You do this to the best of your God-given ability. The churches in Acts was accused of turning the world upside down. Not anymore. We try to blend in with the world. Civil government is all that's left to take care of everything. We're not done. Just listen again. Forefathers' Monument stands proudly on a hill in the middle of a residential neighborhood in Plymouth. The Grand Lady of Faith standing 81 feet in the air, overlooking Plymouth Harbor. On the front of her plaque is these words: National Monument to the Forefathers, erected by a grateful people, in remembrance of their labors, sacrifices, and sufferings for the care of civil and religious liberty. All we have known is liberty. In fact, we take what we have for granted. However, we are the only people in history that have enjoyed such liberty and don't realize that we are on the verge of losing it. The point we will repeatedly see made by our founders and noted on this plaque is the close connection between civil and religious liberty. They are twins who travel together. If you lose one, you lose both. It is important that you vote. Beto must go. He's trying to get in. He said he supports BLM. That won't get it. If you study the founding fathers, did you know they preached to the Congress? Did you know with them there is no separation of church and state? Amen. That's what the problem is today. The church needs to get involved in politics, because there's too many rotten people that are being put in office that are anti-God. And our president that we have today, Joe Biden, needs to learn to stop trying to make a nuclear deal with Iran and shake hands with evil and shake hands with the devil. It is high time the church today goes forward in boldness and courage, as it should, and begins to deliver a gospel message from Jesus Christ to those in Congress, to those in our Senate, our House. The founding fathers did it then. Why have we stopped doing it today? They need to know the gospel and that the church is there to back up what they teach out of the Word of the living God. Amen. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for letting us know the myth that we have been living under so long. It is the separation of church and state. But if we go back to our founding fathers, we will realize there was no separation of church and state. The preachers were there to preach the gospel to those that were coming into Congress and those that were already there. And this is where we are faltering today. We have pulled away from the politics that need to be addressed to say that abortion is wrong. It does not belong. It should not be practiced, much less thought of. And the church must have a voice in that, and homosexuality and lesbianism, and also a voice in Disneyland. It used to not be that way. What happened? What's happened to our churches? What's happened to our preachers? It's not the message. The message never changes. The message has come from God. The things that have changed started in the pulpit and spread out into the congregation. May that begin to change. And may we be who God has called us to be, bold people in Christ. We pray this prayer. We ask that it be done, that we may see a demonstration once again of the power of God transforming people, transforming a government, simply because of the Word of God being taught and preached. Father, raise us up to follow you as a disciple. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.